Happy to be here. I can't stand it. Lord Jesus, we ask that you would come now, just anoint us to hear your word. Would you come and speak to us, Lord? You promised to do this, Lord. We are expecting it. You said we get what we expect. So, Lord, we're expecting to hear your voice tonight, Lord, to encourage us, to take us further, to keep pressing the battle. So, Lord, if you would just come and do this, I appreciate it, Lord Jesus, to fulfill your word. Yes, this in your name. Amen. Brother Will, you do get my thing. I forgot to put it on. It's on the desk. Maddie brought it in, and I just remembered just now I don't have it because I think I'm not speaking loud enough. If you want to turn your Bibles, we're going to start in Revelation, third chapter. Amen. Revelation, we're going to start at verse 14 to the Laodicean church. Revelation 3:14, and unto the angel of the church of the Laodiceans write, these things saith the Amen, the faithful and true witness, the beginning of the creation of God. I know thy works, that thou art neither cold nor hot. I would that thou were cold or hot. So then because thou art lukewarm and neither cold nor hot, I will spew thee out of my mouth, vomit you out. Because thou sayest, I am rich and increased with goods and have need of nothing. And knowest not that thou art wretched and miserable and poor and blind and naked. I counsel thee to buy of me gold tried in the fire, that thou mayest be rich, and white raiment, that thou mayest be clothed, and that the shame of thy nakedness do not appear. And anoint thine eyes with eye salve, that thou mayest see. As many as I love, I rebuke and chasten. Be zealous, therefore, and repent. You may be seated. The zeal of the age is to say, I'm wrong. I am wrong. Who likes to say you're wrong? Everybody. If you all like to say, admit you're wrong, go ahead and raise your hand. You better not. Nobody wants to say I'm wrong. It's just not what. And then on top of that, the spirit on this age from the world is my rights. And you add that to the Holy Spirit is saying, admit you're wrong. Repent. Be zealous and repent. Now, this has been on my mind the last couple days a little bit about repentance. And here's what repentance is not. Repentance is not you come up and tell the pastor, you know what, I did this, I'm really sorry, and pray for me, and God bless you, and you walk out and you feel good. That's not repentance. Repentance is to change and go a different direction, to change where you're going. Instead of walking this way, you turn and go a different way. That's repentance. That's the zeal of this age, to say, I'm wrong, not just I'm wrong, but now I'm going to change. Remember Esau? He was sorry, but he couldn't find a place of repentance. He could not find a place where he said, I am actually going to change my behavior. I'm going to change what I do, because he did not want to change. He just wanted things to be different, doing the same thing he did. Repentance. Quit doing what you're doing. And I used to think, I'm going to try real hard. That ain't what it is. It's the way you think. It's your attitude. It's your belief towards God. I said, God, I hate this. I don't want to do this anymore. And you promised me that I could change. I have to rearrange this just a little bit. Hang on.
All right. For the next couple of services, if God doesn't change my mind, I'm going to speak on the thought of the uncomfortable Christ. And we see in here what we just read. This is a message to Laodicea. We know we are in Laodicean church age. We also know that we've been raptured out in the bride age. But we are still living in here. And so we are going to be assaulted, deceived, attacked. This is what Satan is going to use against us. And what does he want us to do? He wants us to make us think that we're rich and increased with goods. I've need of nothing. He wants us to get comfortable. We got it. That's what Satan's attack on us is, to get us to get just relaxed, get calm, get at ease, get comfortable. And Brother Brad, said one of the pressures of this age is the soft living, because it's so easy. There's no reason for us to fight. There's no reason to get all worked up. There's no reason to be uncomfortable in this day. It's all about comfort. Be easy. Just take it easy. Just relax. Soft living. Spiritually, we got the message of the hour. What more can you need? Very comfortable Christianity. Get a preacher who scratches your ears. That's how Satan is getting the message believers in this day. With this soft. And back in the other days, what was he doing? He was persecuting them. He was killing them. He was burning them to death. He was chasing all on there. They're just doing all good, destroying. He said, you know what? Every time I persecute them, they get stronger. The real believers do. Persecution makes you stronger. Now, the make believers, the unbelievers, they get all weak and they wash out anyways. But he said, you know, this ain't working. I got to do something different. What am I going to do? I'm going to make it so easy on them. They don't have to pray. They don't have to trust God. They don't have to read their Bible. They don't even have to go to church. They can just sit at home and listen to a tape and think they're okay. This is how Satan is destroying message believers. There's no headquarters saying, this is why we believe. You can believe it any way you want. You can be any kind of message believer you want and still be a message believer. It's very simple. It's very easy. How does God withstand that? Now, remember, Satan's riding out that pale horse. All the horses all gathered together, and it's death. But God fights that with the eagle anointing, which is prophetic, which is the prophet came with the word of the hour, so we have the word to open our eyes. And he fights that by exposing Satan and his works, exposing him, trying to destroy you with his soft living, and then he brings something to make you uncomfortable. Isn't that amazing? God brings something so we don't sit there and just wallow through life in the muck of lukewarmness, just all comfortable. I'm a message believer, everything's fine. So he stirs the pot. He takes something just to mix it up and say, you're not going to sit in this pew all comfortable and lukewarm. And nobody likes that.
You say, well, I do.
Not your flesh, it doesn't. No, it does not. If it did, then you say, I enjoy the chasing of the Lord. And he said, no, chasing is pleasant. So let's not get all spiritual and say, well, you can't preach it too hard for me. You haven't been just sitting under the right preacher then. Then you know how hard preaching is, probably. He opens our eyes. He exposes our weakness. What? To bring us to repentance. So we can say, I'm wrong. He said, well, brother, I did that. Did you do it today? Well, I did it 20 years ago. Guess who's lukewarm as mush? You repent constantly. You're constantly saying things. You're constantly trying to grow in Christ. If you're constantly not dying to yourself, you're not constantly growing in Christ. Look. Tonight, it's going to get down to what? 30, I don't know. It's supposed to be cold sometime this weekend. I don't know. Let's say it gets down to 30 degrees tonight, and you haven't turned your heat on in your house yet. And about 2 o'clock this morning, you're going to wake up, and you're going to go, it's cold. It's uncomfortable. I need to do something. You're either going to get another blanket, you're going to go turn on the heat, you're going to start a fire at the foot of your bed, you're going to do something to warm up. Because it's uncomfortable. That's what God's doing. He makes it uncomfortable for us so that we do something to change. That's how it does it. He exposes Satan working in our lives and influences us to bring us to repentance. Phil, you still got some pride here. He wants to take up. He loves us. That's why this is love. This is the way God loves. let us just do whatever we want. I love you so much, I'll let you do what you want, Brother Paul. That ain't love. It's the way we want love to be, but it isn't. How does he expose this? How does he expose Satan? How does he keep us focused? How does he keep us focused on the right thing instead of getting lukewarm? Through the preaching of the word. It brings us to repentance through chastening and trials. This is the way. It is that simple. Don't make it more difficult. Well, you have to understand this doctrine and you have to do this. No, you don't. That's not the way he does it. He's always done it this way. He preaches the word and people accept it and it changes them. It's that simple. It's an uncomfortable Christianity. And that's what God wants. That's why he preaches. That's why he has things happen the way he does. Because this is the way he does it. This is the way he keeps the church moving forward. So we don't just get all lax and lazy and just sit around and say, well, we're just waiting for the rapture. Yeah, you're going to be waiting an awful long time, too. That's why it's amazing to me. God comes and preaches to you personally. And you know it's to you personally. He said, we're as Sodom and Gomorrah. We're living in that. We all know that's true. Look around you. Are we living in Sodom and Gomorrah or what? He said, let the righteous spirit in us. These sins vex our soul daily. Bro, I hope it does. If you're comfortable living in this world and just all this stuff that's going on, there's something wrong with your soul. I'm not talking about enjoying the things. Tears us up. He said, let the sins of the world and the fashion of the high with all this Hollywood evangelism and nonsense, all this makeup and beat the mute, jump up and down. He said, what is it? It's to make us uncomfortable. God is turning. It's darker and darker. What? So the light shines brighter, but it separates us because we get so sick of that darkness. And let me tell you something, brother and sister. Should I tell you the darkness I'm the most sick of right now? It is the religious spirit around this message. Keep people out of church. That is way worse than those homosexual spirits and all the other stuff going on out there, all the terrorists and whatever you want. It is the religious spirits around this message. That's the evil that gets to me. That's what makes me uncomfortable. That's what drives me. That raises up this indignation against the devil. Says, how dare you come and try to defile Christ's bride like that? I know it's his job, but it's also our job to withstand that thing. I hope it makes you uncomfortable. Preacher. Talk about preachers. Let me read this. The burning bush. God knew that that prophet was living in ease. Talk about Moses. He decided he had to speak to this prophet. He selected a place. Emergency was on. I have heard the cries of my people. There was the emergency. God said, I've heard the cries of my people. I need to get them out of Egypt like I promised to do it. And I've ordained a person to do it. And he tried. And he failed. And he ran away. And now he's living at ease on the backside of the desert. He's got his wife. He's got his sheep. He's got a kid. Everything's fine. I don't care about those people. He lost the feeling for them. They rejected him. Moses was living at ease. Well, how many times he tossed and turned at night. Remember remember the cries, the taskmaster beating his brothers and sisters. He was at ease, and he didn't want to go down. He was fine with where he was. I don't know how many preachers are like that tonight. He said, the emergency was on. I have heard the cries of my people. What was it? It was time for them to be delivered. It was time to leave Egypt. But his prophet was at ease. He said, there is a man that I sent to deliver them. He's weak and washy. Moses was weak and wishy-washy. He didn't want to go down. He was soft. He had it easy. He got his feelings hurt. And he did not want to go down and draw those people out of Egypt. He was fine with where he was. Brother Branham said, oh God, I hope he calls one here this morning, the ministers, to get on fire. Look at the vision. What is the vision? It's to get a body change, to go on a rapture. That should be our vision. It's to become Christ-like. It's to have the super sign on display. Christ in flesh. That's the vision. He said, we're dying. The world's gone. The church is backslid. God's trying to call a bride. Can't use a coward. He can't use a wishy-washy ministry. He needs somebody who's gone through it. So he took him to the burning bush. He had an experience with God. And after that experience with God, he was no longer wishy-washy. He was no longer weak. Now he was not a coward. He was brave. And he took the stick and he said, let's go. We're going down and get those people out of there. Come on. What was it? 5 minutes in the presence of God had changed that man. That's all it took. He was no longer afraid. That's what it takes, brother and sister. Get in the presence of God and you'll know what you're talking about. You will not be afraid to stand against the world. You'll not be afraid to stand against the spirits of this age. You'll not be afraid to stand against your family or whoever is trying to influence you wrong. Get in the presence of God one time and see it changes you. Boy, that's exciting. What kind of ministry do we want? What kind of ministry do message believers want? They want someone who's weak. Someone who's wishy-washy, someone who they can bend with the attitude on their face when the guy's preaching. Uh-oh, Brother Phil's mad at me. I better preach something different. I'm getting on his toes. Look at that scowl on his face. I think that doesn't happen, brother and sister. Come and stand here sometimes. I wish I could get you up here sometime. Hey, come here. Look at that person over there. They think they're going to influence what I preach by scowling at me. If I was weak and wishy-washy, they would. But I'm not. Why? Because I met the same God that Moses met. I ain't bragging on myself. I told you many times. Phil Bontrager is a coward. With the Holy Spirit, he's a lion. He ain't afraid when he's up here. Just don't get him out of the pulpit. Why? It's God. He said, a man that claims to be a Christian has no right in the pulpit, has no right in the office or a leader anywhere until first he's climbed them steps into a place where he's born of the Spirit of God, filled with the Holy Ghost in such a way that nobody can explain it away from him. Nobody can explain it away from him. Why? Because he was there. I've had plenty of people not like what I preach, and you know what? I don't like it sometimes either, but you know what? I know I didn't put it, I didn't make it up. I was there. He gave it to me. I know where it comes from. I know where it come from. I know where I got it. It wasn't my own thinking up here. It wasn't me trying to put something together. It wasn't me holding a grudge. It wasn't me trying to like, boy, I'm going to get Brother Gene. He's going to learn to sass me. I'm going to tear him up. None of that. You can't explain it away from me because I was there when it came. I know how he spoke to me. I said what he told me to say.
But Brother Phil, don't you think if you would preach a little calmer, people would enjoy it? Yes, I do think that. Don't you think if you were nicer to people and saying these things a little nicer, don't you think they would enjoy service more? Yes, I do think that. Brother Phil, if you would be just kinder to people and gentler, don't you think we have more people in the church? Yes, I think that. I totally agree with you. Would you like to keep explaining it away? preach the way you preach, Brother Phil, because it's not me saying it. You know what I'm convinced of? You don't feel alive. If you read them, you read them in the book. It says what we believe it says. And in the next couple of services, I'm going to start tonight, I think I'm going to do this, if God leads me this way. I think we're going to take the Bible about three chapters. We're just going to read through it. You know why? Because I do not believe some people actually believe the Jesus of the Bible. They do not recognize the Jesus of the Bible because they think he's just some nice wishy-washy, let me just hold your children and let's just be friends kind of guy. We're going to read three chapters, Lord willing, out of the book of John, and we're going to find out just what Jesus was like and what the ministry of Jesus was all about. I think people would be scandalized to realize really what he said and what he did. Just look at it, what it says about him. Brother Jerry Browning got here, and he started preaching around here in the first little while. I would get scandalized, but you know what? My attitude was, well, I believe what he's saying, Brother. I didn't say this. I believe what you're saying, Brother Jerry, but you don't have to be such a smart aleck. And it would just tear me up and say, why do you have to say it that way? Just say it nice. The Holy Spirit would start dealing with me and say, well, what's being heard? What's being offended? Well, he don't have to talk to me that way. I don't. Well, I mean, after all, can't he be more respectful to what? Was he disrespecting the Holy Spirit, or was he disrespecting your pride, Phil? Oh. That didn't go over well. And it didn't just quit. I recognize that's my pride. And so you know what happened? He kept preaching that way until it was no longer an issue. And you know what happened when I had to start preaching? I would find myself doing the same thing that had tore me up. Why do I have to preach this way? Someone else's pride needs to be. What it is. Sometimes it's just the way the preacher preaches it, and it just gets all over us because of our pride. Isn't that exciting? God loves you so much, he's going to make sure that you're ready for the rapture, whether you like it or not. God, when he sent Moses down to Egypt to deliver the people, first he took him on the backside of the desert. Took all the theology he had him out in 40 years that appeared to him. He knew more about God in 5 minutes than the presence of that burning bush than 40 years of learning that he got. How many message believers who have sat in these pews for 40 years, if they would just get in the presence of God for 5 minutes? Not just all your stirring up trouble, but someone who just sit there and shut your mouth and you speak what God has you to speak. That's what the church needs tonight, another burning bush experience where slick-tongued people, those ministers, will sit there and make the people think they're born again. Those liars. A long time ago, we had tent meetings here, camp meetings here in Dixon, and we had this guy come, and when I heard him that first time, he so blew me away, I thought, I've never heard him preach. He preached a couple of times, and I thought, man, that guy could preach. I went to another special meetings where he was having, I sat there and listened to him preach and all these talks, and he just knew so much, he was so good. I went to another meeting where he was preaching, and he was like, oh my goodness, this guy could preach, and I heard him talking, heard other people talk about what he said. He said this. He said, I'm going to leave this church here in the States. I'm going to go to a church in Canada that's going to have me preach, be their pastor. I'm going to be there for about 4 years. I'm going to make about $1 million, save it up. I'll come back down to the United States and get another church started. I'm going to be there. He did it. He did it. I don't know if he got $1 million, but he went up there for about 4 or 5 years. He came back down. He started another church. He didn't do it. He tried. He could preach better than anyone else I've ever heard preach. didn't recognize it. Now I did. He was preaching that. When you recognize the mystery, that's the new birth. And he said this. No, we've been trying to get the token. And I found out we already had the token. Really? You had the token and didn't know it. Can you imagine Israel in Egypt? And they were supposed to apply the token, but they had invisible blood. Yeah, the blood's there, you just can't see it. It's invisible. What a liar! Leading people to hell because he can preach like an archangel. Except to the grace of God, I was eating it up, man. It was good. Boy, it made you feel good. Slick-tongued liars. The scripture says that two spirits in the last day will be so close that they see the very elect if possible. A man ought to first get on that sacred ground of God where all the theologians, all the doctors of divinity, all the reasoning, all the atheists, nothing else can ever explain that away from him. He was there when God come. He knows what took place. That ain't just for the minister. That's for every one of us, brother and sister. You need to make sure you've been there. He said, well, what's that going to be like, brother Phil? I cannot tell you the moment it happened. I cannot tell you. I don't know. All I know is I was walking the face of one day God's got showing me. See, this is the morning. This happened to be the morning. This is the morning. What was that telling me? And what am I going to do? Are you going to go, God, I never had this expectation. I don't know if I'm not going to go. I can't point to a time when it actually happened. I see the results. Well, I don't know. Go tell a woman who's praying that she's not praying. No, I know you're still getting big. You feel all this crap, but you're really not pregnant. I'm sorry, there's life in there. And tell her when she's had a baby, she hadn't had a baby. No, you really didn't have that baby. Oh, yes, sir, it happened. And here's the result. You know, brother and sister, you know if you got life. You know if you've come to life or not. If you're still wondering, then you probably haven't. Get there. You can know that you know because there's something different about you. There is a life. There is a peace. There is a love. There is a difference in your nature. And it's not you putting it on. It's not you being religious. It's not you trying to live good. It just naturally happens. Amen. That's the kind of man we need today in the government, in the church. Anywhere else in the times like this for leadership, we need a man that's filled with the Holy Ghost. That's what the church needs today. Not a theologian, a spirit-filled, born-again man full of the Holy Ghost. I tell you, if we had more of that, the church would look a little different than it does in the present time. Things would be different if we just had more men filled with the Holy Spirit, not going after tradition to the elders and so forth. That's what this message needs, is more people filled with the Holy Spirit in the pulpit. That's why they're not there. People don't like it. Satan wants to keep them comfortable. God wants to make you uncomfortable. And people say, I'd rather be comfortable than uncomfortable. I'm going to go listen to this preacher. It just depends on what comfortable you want to be. Do you want to be comfortable in your flesh? Or do you want to be comfortable in your spirit? Do you want to be comfortable with the Holy Spirit? Or when the Holy Spirit comes, do you want to feel that rebuke, that heaviness of, oh, I know I'm wrong, something's wrong. But I'm sure having a good time. What do you want? Where do you want to be comfortable? People don't want the Holy Spirit though, because he preaches something that just keeps stirring up. He keeps things stirred up, keeps things going, keeps things going. And when people bring in the wrong spirit, keep exposing them. Change gear just a little bit. Brother Brandon speaking.
He said, when a son comes to God, he's given tests. I stood there that day, I remember, as I took my test. I've been days after days, month after month, year, 4 or 5 years on the street corners preaching the gospel, trying to do that which was right in God's sight. He let my wife go right out from under me, my baby laying there dying. I got down to the baby. I said, Lord God, don't let my baby die. 9 months old little baby. I looked up. It looked like a black sheet coming down. He even refused to hear me. He wouldn't even look at me. I raised up about 23 years old. There laid the wife in the morgue. He refused to hear me for her. When all I had done. I said, God, tell me what I've done. If I've done wrong, punish me, not them. He said, what have I done? Work all day and preach all night, stand on the street corners. What have I done? Tell me what I've done. He wouldn't even tell me. See, brother and sister, God don't have your ministers make people uncomfortable without making the minister uncomfortable too. You think the minister likes to stand up here and just rebuke and rebuke and rebuke? You think he likes it? He knows all week what he's got to preach. He knows how people are going to respond. He knows it's going to hurt people's feelings. But what did he say? As many as I love, I rebuke and chasten. Why do we have to keep preaching that? Why do we keep bringing that? Why does this person keep responding this way? I love them. I will continue to rebuke until they come to subjection, until they accept and chase me, until they change their mind and change their attitude. Brother Brandon said, he wouldn't even tell me. Then Satan come up to my side. He said, then you'll serve him? When one word would change the whole situation. One word will save your baby, but he refuses to do it. He won't do it when one word would. Then you go ahead and serve him. There's 99% of the world that look at God and say, how could a loving God allow all this suffering to go on? Trying to understand God with your little pea brain mind. People say, I shed my fist at God. Boy, you sure affected him. He was terrified, let me tell you. Fools. Fool, what's that saying? Fools walk with hot-nailed boots. And all the human reasoning. That's right. Why should I serve him if he won't even as much as look down at my baby? That's all it would take. As much as I thought I'd done for him, then he wouldn't even listen to my own baby. That was the hardest temptation. Here's why. Listen to this. All human reasonings had broke away. Why should I serve him if he can't do that much for me? And I go day and night for him. He even refuses to tell me what I've done. Well, human reasoning is gone. That, my brother and sister, is where Satan comes and says, why should you have to go through all this stuff? Why should it be so uncomfortable for you? Why should you have to go through this trial and that tragedy and this happened and that happened? Why? After all you want to do is just be a Christian. All you want to do is serve God. All you do is go to church and you go to work and you do everything you want to do. Why do you have to go through all these hard trials? Look at the people who died. Look at how you've been sick. Look at the people who have paid. Why doesn't he heal that? Why doesn't he take care of this? Why is all this going on? Why should I serve God who allows you to suffer like this? I don't have to. He can fix it. You recognize what Spirit is saying that? Oh, this isn't going to be good. You know what Spirit is saying that? Questioning it? What is questioning why God, I have to suffer this? Why I have to suffer this? That's the same Spirit that is saying, why don't you do something?
same spirit that came to Brother Branham and said, well, if that's the way he's going to treat you, why in the world would you keep going to that church? Goodness sakes, go find a place to relax. Human reasoning. Human reasoning is gone. He said, oh, when a man's born again, that's something in there that holds. It comes down to that spot. When I thought, where did I get her? Where did she come from? What am I anyhow? Where did I come from? All the human part had broke away. Then that real, genuine spirit of God laid there. What if it hadn't been there? If Brother Branham wouldn't have been born again,
I walked over to her, put my hands on her head. She was suffering so bad. Her little eyes were crossing. I said, sweetheart, in a few minutes, I'll take you and lay you on mommy's arms out there in the morgue. I'll bury you out there under the pine tree. Someday daddy will come see you again. I looked up. I said, God, though you slay me, yet I'll trust you. You gave her. You've taken away. Blessed be the name of the Lord. For that all my human reasoning had vanished. I was at the end of my road. But when you come to the end of your road, then that real spirit of God there to take over at that time and lift you up. Brother and sister, what if you're not born again? What are you going to do? You're going to come to the end of your road. If it's something like this, or if you just when it's time to die.
What will you have said? What will you say? Yeah, but I thought. But I thought. But I didn't like how uncomfortable it was. I didn't like the way you preached. Spot in a man or woman when they're born of the Spirit of God. That's eternal. You'll get into a place sometime where everything that's human about you in reasoning, the devil can reason it away from you. But when it all breaks away, then if that eternal life isn't there, you'll fall also because you can reason yourself away from God.
You will reason yourself away from God. And you know what it looks like? Well, I'll just go to a church where I agree with what's being preached and the way the pastor's handling the situation or whatever. Because human reasoning will outreason your religion. Your idea that, well, I know God brought me here, but you know what? Maybe he made a mistake. I know God brought me to the church, but maybe I just wasn't listening. Maybe it was someone else brought me. Maybe I was wrong. Well, I know God put me in this church, and Brother Jerry's my pastor, but my goodness, he's wrong. Well, I don't like the way, I mean, Brother Phil, sometimes you preach, I really like what you preach, and sometimes I don't like what you preach, so I just accept the things I like. You realize you just made yourself your own pastor. You've elevated yourself into the ministry now and deciding what you're going to accept and what you're not going to accept because you have no confidence in the ministry. Let me say it again. I've said it before. If you have no confidence in the ministry, why in the world would you go to a church where you didn't have confidence in the ministry? Think about it. You're dancing on the edge of hell. Well, I don't know if I really have confidence or not because I don't really know if I see Christ in this. I don't really know if I see the word producing Christ. And so, you know, but I mean, it's convenient. Well, I've always gone to this church. Well, I thought God led me here, but you know.
Well, I go if I feel like it.
Brother Phil, you're making me uncomfortable. Hey, you caught on. That's what I'm supposed to be doing. This makes me uncomfortable too. I know who I'm talking to. We're my friends, right? We're friends. You're my brothers and sisters. I'm gonna walk out of here, we're gonna go out, and we're gonna shake hands, hopefully, and we're gonna talk, and we'll be friendly in the parking lot. How many people, they go home, they decide, they dissect what was preached, they decide, well, I'm gonna accept that, or I don't know about that. Well, I don't know if you should have said it that way. Well, you know, go ahead. That's between you and God. See, if you all decide that you've had enough of Phil, and you get up and walk out the door and you turn off the lights, you know what you're going to hear? Put your ear to the window. You know what you're going to hear? Me finishing this message. Because this is what God gave me to speak. And I boast of that. I'm bragging on what God has done. I'm bragging what he's doing here. This is God's work. God is leading this church. It's the Holy Spirit. You know how I know? Because I see the effect of it. It's producing Christ in people. For those who want to receive it. And that's good. Thankfully, you won't have to listen very long because I think I'm done. Brother and sister, when things get all torn up, when things get in turmoil and anxiety comes and fears and stresses and all these kind of things, brother and sister, recognize it's the love of God to you saying, don't get lackadaisical, don't get complacent. Press the battle, keep going. Bad things are going to happen to you. Good things are going to happen to you. It does to everybody, born again or not. He says, do you trust me? Will you believe me? Will you accept us? We're all go through times where we're very uncomfortable. Very uncomfortable. And that's a kind of a broad word for all the trials and stuff we go through and the hard things that are said and preached. And as many as I love, I rebuke. Let me just say this before. Go ahead and stand so we can pray. Brother Nate, if you want to come up. Let me just say this. What if you came to church and God never rebuked you? What if you came to church and God never made you uncomfortable? God never spoke to you? What would you prefer? You sitting there knowing, oh, I'm not born again, I'm not a Christian, and he never says anything to me? What a horrible place to be. Horrible. He chastens his kids.
How great is our God? How great is his word? He's the greatest one that ever was heard. We roll back the waters of the mighty Red Sea, and he said, I will lead you, put your trust in me. Oh, I praise our God. One that ever was heard. Lead roll back the waters I have decided to follow Jesus. I have decided to follow Jesus. I have decided to follow Jesus. I want to
Amen. Amen. We had a prayer request to pray for.